Good afternoon, and welcome to the Wednesday afternoon conference call with Trusts Unlimited. This is Jim George speaking. I'm the non-attorney spokesman and facilitator for Trusts Unlimited. I'm terribly sorry that I got into this call a little late. I've frankly lost track of time. I've been on the phone all morning, all over the planet, talking to a lot of people, and since most of the people I talk to are to the east of us, their times are a little different than ours, and so, I had to get up kind of early to get information from them and discuss certain issues with them. So again, I apologize for that. Let's go ahead and get into this call for today. We're not going to have a complete call today for a couple of reasons. One of them is that, as I said, I've been on calls and I'm going to have to jump off, and there's just calls are going nonstop. And of course, I want to get in on as many as I can, share what information I have, and glean from these individuals whatever information they have as well. So I'm a little harried here with the information I want to provide for you. I like to usually sit down and collate all this information, but I'm sitting here with a lot of scribbled notes, and I'm going to try to put this stuff together and share with you the information that I think is most important. First, I wanted to mention that we still, I do not believe, have resolved everything that we need to resolve with YouTube as yet. So I'm going to give you a couple of options with regard to listening to our replays. The first is a series of numbers that you can call. First, you would call 206-451-6012. You would then give them 605-313-5163. And then, of course, you would use our access code, which is 739-394-pound. Now, I'm not sure that that's going to work as yet. I've discussed briefly the issues we've had with YouTube, but unfortunately, what's happening in this country, which is just an abomination, is that half of the nation is being harassed and silenced because they're not parroting the narrative, and we have no intention of succumbing to that crap. So we're still going to try to see if we resolve whatever issues may still exist with YouTube. However, we have another way that you can listen to the replay. You would go to our website, which is Trusts with an S, UnlimitedLLC.com. You would then click the quote-unquote Learn More box. You would then click the conference calls box, and then you would simply select the date that you want to listen. My understanding is that they put all of our past calls up on our website, and the two calls that individuals should listen to if they want more specific information about our turnkey pre- and post-RV program are our calls of June 6th and our call of September 22nd. Today, we're going to deal just with the information that we've gleaned with regard to where we are with the reinstatement and revaluation of the Iraqi dinar, which, again, we consider to be the base currency for the potential reset of these other currencies. First, by way of disclaimer, Trusts Unlimited is not the purveyor of the dinar and these other currencies. We're not advocating either the sale or purchase of these currencies. But as rather substantial currency holders ourselves, we're sharing with you the information we deem to be relevant. And then, of course, the most relevant piece of information would be the potential window for the reinstatement of the dinar. We continue to believe that the reinstatement of the dinar could literally happen at any time. Now, that doesn't mean, and those of us that have been in this game for a while know that things happen very unorthodoxly in Iraq, but things are really moving in the right direction, and I think the election that just took place, and it's not that the election needed to happen for the reinstitution, but I think that the election results have reinforced the reinstatement as something that could happen quickly. Now let's talk a little bit about the elections. Now, of course, the largest bloc to win in the parliament was the Sadrists. And that's the bloc that's moving toward the reforms necessary for the reinstatement of the currency. Now, as suspected, the more radical Shia blocs are objecting, saying that there was malfeasance in the election. You know, it's like the United States and Iraq are on a dual track here. They are in the process of recounting the ballots to confirm the vote. However, there is a distinction between a simple recount, which is what's happening, or an audit where they are actually inspecting the individual ballots. So I don't think that the concerns of the Shia have any merit, and I think that the final result will be as initially stated, which is we do know that the Sadrists have the majority of the seats in the parliament. Now, that's important for a number of reasons, and the Sadrists have already made some public statements. One is they're strongly suggesting that Kazemi, or certainly someone of his ilk, will be the prime minister. They're also affirming their intention to see full implementation of the white papers, which, of course, Kazemi has made a number of public statements saying he is in complete agreement with that. But they also said they intend to see the change in the exchange rate for the IQD gradually. Now, in my view, what that means is they're going to go to a float, which, as far as I'm concerned, is the same thing as just saying we're going to reinstitute and revalue at a Basel III compliant rate. So let's assume that the dinar reinstitutes, say, at a 1-to-1. Even if it revalues at a 1-to-1, you know it's going to rise quickly north of $3 because in order to be Basel III compliant, that's where they'd need to be. It could even come out immediately at north of $3. If it comes out at 1-to-1 and moves quickly to $3, we could also see over the next couple of weeks it move to north of $4, maybe even approaching $5. And October would be the absolute sweet spot for a reinstitution and revaluation for reasons that I've stated ad nauseum. First, that means that no taxes would be due until January 15th of next year, which would give us time to compel the IRS and the Treasury Department to confirm the tax status pursuant to sections 98082 of the Internal Revenue Code and 643B of the Internal Revenue Code. Second, even if it were come out of the float and drag slowly, certainly 3 months would be more than sufficient time to see the Iraqi dinar hit a Basel III compliant approximately $3.50 against a dinar or even higher. Lastly, the AMF, the Arab Monetary Fund, has announced that they will launch the BUNA platform, which is the regional system for balance of payments for a handful of Middle Eastern nations in order to clear and for accounting of multiple currency transactions. Now, they haven't done it up to this point because currencies have been undervalued or, in the case of Iraq, have been in a program rate. But now we're looking at the possibility of the imminent reinstitution and revaluation of the Iraqi dinar. There's also more talk now about the dong going very closely, if not simultaneously, with the dinar. We're also seeing that the Iranian rial and the Jordanian dinar they're not revaluing per se, but there's going to be a stepped-up rate in their value as well. So obviously, the Arab Monetary Fund wants to make sure that the BUNA platform payment system is up and running, because once these currencies are adjusted, then inter-country trade is going to increase substantially. So all of this is very good news, and hopefully we will see a reinstitution of the dinar early in this quarter, again, so we can ensure that we can resolve any tax issues and allow the currency, if it comes out of the float, to appreciate prior to our going to the bank to do our exchanges. That's basically the information that I wanted to provide for today. Again, we're not going to be doing the full call. I'm getting right back on the horn to talk to some people. please go to our call of June 2nd or September 22nd if you want to get a detailed explanation of the program we put into place. However, there are 2 points I want to touch on before we sign off today. The first has to do with our trust package. Now, up until the last few months, we've been marketing this trust package for over a decade, asserting that it provides the privacy you're going to need and want, it provides the asset protection you're going to need and want, and it may even provide the tax deferral that you're going to need and want. Now, this is important because what the current government is doing, now, it's kind of complex. In my view, and in my opinion, the Biden administration doesn't really want to see the revaluation of the dinar because domestically it doesn't work for them politically. 6 to 8 million new millionaires are not going to vote for a higher government and higher taxes. On the other hand, the Biden administration, these people are globalists, and so they are beholden to the international concerns more so than the domestic concerns, and I think that's a legitimate statement to make just looking at what's transpired over the last 8 months. But the administration is in the process of doing a couple of things. First, they've introduced the infrastructure bill anywhere. Of course, they're fighting now between, I think, 2.2 and 3.5 trillion. But if you dig deep into this thing, we're probably looking at something that's closer to 6 trillion. So this massive increase in M2, in the creation of a currency, is inherently inflationary. And at this amount, it's hyperinflationary. In addition, buried in this stimulus bill is basically having the federal government shadow our bank transactions. The excuse is they want to collect money from deadbeat millionaires, but of course, tracking $600 transactions has nothing to do with deadbeat millionaires. And lastly, the Treasury Department, Janet Yellen, and that crowd are all really pushing hard for a digital currency. So all of these things actually make establishing a trust like ours, irrespective of whether or not you have currencies, very important. And the reason for that is I'll explain a little bit more detail. But I could make the argument now that Biden is actually in a position where he wants to see the reinstatement, because the reinstatement of the dinar, even though the dinar would be depegged from the U.S. dollar, means that the dinar that the federal government holds is now going to be stepped up in value. Now, the United States can convert that to dollars, or they can simply leave the dinar in place, because the dinar, if it's Basel III compliant, is a gold derivative. So that's, you know, an issue for them as well. My concern is that the increase in the money supply is hyperinflationary, and certainly the creation of a digital currency is going to create a problem. A digital currency means a lot of things. First of all, it's an unsafe currency. Why? Look at all of the hacking, and it's the left that complains about all of the hacking. Well, if the currency is digital, it can be hacked. I mean, even an EMT, an electromagnetic pulse weapon, which is an alternative to conventional war or nuclear war, would wipe out a digital system. So I don't want my wealth in a system that could be wiped out in a millisecond. So here's the situation we're confronted with. We want to go to the bank. We want to do our exchange. We know that money is necessarily going to have to be in the bank for a few days, if not weeks. And it might be at a time when they're transitioning to a digital currency. So we want to establish our trust for the reasons I've stated. We want to assign our currencies to that trust for the reason I've stated. We want to go to the bank and do our exchange. But then we want to transition that money out of the currency, banking, and financial systems, and as much as practicable, into tangible assets. And here's one of the long-term reasons for doing this as well. Again, we want the IRS to confirm Section 988(e)(2) and Section 643B. Section 643B says the sale or exchange of a capital asset within an irrevocable trust is tax deferred. So by transitioning assets from bank, from currencies, from bank accounts, from investments to tangible assets, mean if those assets are within a trust package like ours, we could buy and sell real estate investment trusts, precious metals, cryptos, things like that. We can buy, sell, and exchange those things within the trust on a tax-deferred basis. And the only way that the government can get around that is to literally change the law. So very quickly to summarize everything, all of the information I've got says we're moving inextricably in the direction of the reinstatement and revaluation of the dinar, that it looks as though other currencies may be following suit in the not-too-distant future, and that by establishing a trust and by transferring assets from financial to tangible assets, you not only will be taking money out of the control of the federal government, the central banking system, but if this is done within our trust, you'll be able to do it on a tax-preferred basis. So this is all very good news. Again, I apologize for getting into the call late. I've done this call for going on 11 years, and I think this is the second time I got in late. And it was because I was getting information that I frankly haven't even yet been able to share all of it because I jumped right off of the call in order to get onto this call. But again, I appreciate all of you taking the time to listen to this call. I've given you the playback information. We're going to try to put all of this information in an email before the end of this week so that everyone will have it. But we will, of course, be back next week. Certainly, if something of a dramatic nature were to happen between now and then, and that's entirely possible, we'll try to get out another emergency email and schedule an emergency conference call. But failing that, we will be back next Wednesday, hopefully on time. Again, I apologize. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Thanks for listening, everyone, and let's hope we all have a great week. God bless.